Today on More to Life, Marriage on the Mend. We're going to help you take your marriage to the next level wherever it is. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to learn.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about marriage in our show titled Marriage on the Mend. Whether your relationship is in a great place or, you know, you got a little struggling overall or you got a little area here or there that you'd like to improve, we want to help you take your marriage to the next level. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, how can we help you make your marriage better? Is there a particular issue that always provokes arguments? Or maybe you'd like to handle conflict better in general? Do you struggle to feel as close as you'd like to each other in some area of your life or over your whole relationship? What would it take for you to get more joy from your marriage or enjoy time with your spouse more than you currently do?
Maybe you get along pretty well, except this morning you wanted to kill each other and you just want to figure that one thing out because,
it happens.
Where did that come from? You know, even in couples that are fantastic, there are moments where you say, oh, this is how people commit homicide. You know, you do. Come on, let's
You're
be
not
real.
Wrong.
Every couple has at least one or two of those fights or 2,000 of them during the course of a marriage. And we, A, have to realize it's normal, but B, have to realize that it's a huge call to say, wow, what do we have to do to get in a better place with each other, to trust each other more, to respect each other more, to have the skills to have this argument in a better, healthier, less painful way?
Well, you know, you said something there that I think could be shocking if anybody caught it. You said that idea of, you know, every couple has that, you know, one or two areas or even 2,000 areas where they argue, and that's normal. I think a lot of people are surprised to find out that research consistently shows that happy couples argue as much as unhappy couples. They actually have as many arguments as unhappy couples. The difference is that happy couples argue differently. They're more respectful, they're more effective, they're more solution-focused, and they do a better job of taking care of each other outside of those arguments. But the fact that all couples, happy and unhappy couples, argue about the same amount is surprising to a lot of people.
It's surprising and I think terrifying. I mean, I think many of our listeners say, well, if that's the case, then I'm never going to get married, or I'm never going to get married again. Because it's terrifying if you've had experience in your family of origin, in some place close to you as you were growing up, where those arguments that happen were handled so badly that they caused you fear and they caused you pain and they left you feeling insecure and uncertain. And that kind of fighting is terrifying, whether you're a witness to it at 2 years old or you're a witness to it because you're in the midst of it and you're arguing it out, and you're 86. That kind of fighting scares all of us.
Of course.
But it's important to know that you can have disagreements because you're two unique people working together to work out life, and you're going to have different points of view without those arguments being scary, without them being threatening. And in point of fact, in a way that can actually make you closer, more secure with each other, and actually help you feel more in love with each other once you're through them and have resolved them. And that's very surprising to most folks, that arguments don't have to be destructive. They can actually be reparative, not just of the issue that you're having in the moment, but of past issues from your childhood, just by the fact that you've solved them together, and strengthening, because you come out and you go, hey, we did that together. And look at us, we're stronger now. If that sounds surprising, if that sounds like you haven't gotten there yet, or you haven't gotten there today because something's going on, and you would like a friendship, a marriage that does that for you and for your spouse, we're here to help you through it today. And not only that, if you're thinking that one day you'd like to get married and you don't know how to do it in a healthy way and you'd like some guidance on that, wherever you are in the continuum of married life, pre-marriage, mid-marriage, post-marriage, and want to heal from it, we're here for you today. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So wherever you are, as Lisa said, we want to help you take your relationship to the next level. Again, the number 877-573-7825. One of the things that inspired today's show was actually an opinion piece in a recent edition of USA Today that was written by Brad Wilcox, who is a sociologist at the University of Virginia. He is one of the directors of the Institute for Family Studies there. And what the article looked at was the surprising good news about marriage and family life. The article is titled A Decade in Review, the surprisingly good news about American family life. And, you know, he starts by talking about, you know, critically acclaimed movies like The Marriage Story, you know, or other cultural indicators that you know, that marriage is still on the ropes. But he says that the research really shows a very different picture. For example, you might be surprised to note that the divorce rate has actually been falling since it peaked around 1980 at the height of the divorce revolution. According to research, Wilcox says, the divorce rate has actually fallen by nearly 25% over the last decade, to the point where there are only about 15 divorces per 1,000 married people today.
Now, let me jump in there, because my first reaction reading the line before that was, that's because there are less marriages. But the study clued that out, got it
That's
out
right.
of the way, and said per 1,000 people, what's going on?
Yeah, so per 1,000 married people.
Per
yeah,
married
yeah.
marriages. Thank,
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
So this wasn't about, oh, there are less marriages, therefore less divorces.
No.
This qualified for that.
That's right. So I'm going to say that again. All right. So the divorce rate has fallen by nearly 25% over the last decade, to the point where there are only about 15 divorces per 1,000 married people. That's about the same rate as it was in 1970. Now, and scholars are predicting that the divorce rate will continue to fall. In fact, other surveys, according to Wilcox, say that Americans are even less tolerant of divorce today than they ever have been. That's largely, according to family scholar Richard Reeves, modern marriages aren't principally about money, sex, or status. It's about children, which is interesting.
In modern times.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's particularly interesting, because I don't think some of our listeners on first listen to that might groan and say, oh, it's all about the children and just staying together for the children. But I think that couples today, after growing up in 2-3 generations of divorce in our country, if not in their own family, say, I want to give better to my kids than kids of the past generation, or that I myself have gotten. So they're willing to work on their marriages more so that their children aren't victims of a divorced home.
According to Wilcox, quote, today's married couples seem to invest more in staying together, unlike the boomers who were obsessed with their own fulfillment in the 1970s, offering their children a better shot at a more stable family life and future, end quote.
That's fascinating.
So interesting. You know, so we often hear about the death of marriage, but to paraphrase Mark Twain, the reports of its death are greatly exaggerated. So the good news is we want to help you take your marriage to the next level wherever it is. How can we help you make your relationship better? Is there a particular issue that you and your spouse tend to go round and round about? Or would you like to handle conflict better in general? Because as soon as you get into it, it doesn't go well. Maybe you struggle to feel as close as you'd like with each other in some area of your life. What would it take for you to get more joy from your relationship, or enjoy time with your spouse more. 877-573-7825.
Or maybe you have that couple in your life, your parents, your friends, your siblings, who, because you are a person of faith, they seem to come to you and want you to tell them how to fix it. Or you actually look at their mess and do want to fix it, but you're not quite sure how to advise. We're here to help you answer that call in your life as well at 877-573-7825. If it's about relationships, romantic relationships, marriages today, let's work it out together. 877-573-7825.
You know, when you look at this whole issue of working on marriage through the lens of the theology of the body, you know, we're reminded that as Christians, of course, we're called to do what? Build the kingdom of God, right? And most of us think that means doing big things for Jesus, whatever that means. And I'm not knocking that. You know, you want to go out, you want to start a hospital, you want to go out and start a Christian school, you want to go out and do missionary, good on you. But that's not where most of us are at. For most of us, building the kingdom of God doesn't have to do with doing big things for Jesus. It has to do with repairing the damage that sin has done to our relationships. And in fact, even that call to do big things for Jesus, like building hospitals and schools and doing missionary work, is all about repairing the damage that sin has done to relationships.
That's right.
And is only godly to the degree that it does repair the damage that sin has done to relationships.
Yeah, I mean, we can see the difference in that. That's why so many people choose specifically Catholic hospitals or Catholic schools, because when an institution doesn't repair relationships and heal hurts, it doesn't really serve people as well as it could. Same with family relationships.
So the theology of the body reminds us that building the kingdom of God means doing whatever we can to cooperate with God's grace to heal the damage that sin has done to our relationships with God and with each other. Ground zero for that work is your marriage and family life. You know, just like St. Paul says, you know, if I go out there and I give my body to be burned and I do great works and, you know, do amazing things, but I don't have love, then I'm a noisy gong. Well, the same thing is true about us and our relationships with our families and our marriages. If I'm out there serving my parish and serving my community and doing awesome things out there, but my marriage and family life is tanking, I'm not doing what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
My marriage is my primary ministry. My family life is my primary ministry as a Christian, because that is the most intimate place where sin has damaged human relationship, and I am the only one who can fix that.
Well, and it's so... People will say, well, that's just because that's what you do, Greg. No. We can see that, A, in the fact that if you're listening to Catholic radio, you probably want to be in the best marriage possible, and there's a good chance you're in a sacramental marriage because you were married in the church. Two, when we look at just basic life, you know, go to a cemetery if you want to know what your real calling is. You don't see, you know, here's somebody who built a hospital on a tombstone. Even if somebody great who built a hospital, usually it's just beloved husband of, beloved wife and mother, beloved husband of. It's those family relationships that you're identified with for all of your life when people look at what it stood for on your headstone. That sounds grim, but it's the nugget of what our true calling, our most important calling, really truly is.
So all it is just to say it's hard work, okay, and so we have a tendency to want to avoid it. But let's not do that today. Let's look at what God wants to do in your marriage and in your family life. Let's look at how God wants to take your relationship to the next level, and let's find out how to cooperate with that grace to make it happen. In fact, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of marriage. Your Father, at the beginning of time, gave us marriage when he told Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply. And you raised marriage, the dignity of a sacrament, in your first miracle at the wedding feast of Cana, reminding us that husbands and wives are meant to be an icon of the love between the bride and the bridegroom, the love that you have for your church. So we bring to you today all of the couples who are listening, Lord, and we ask you to bless us, to help us to be witnesses of the love that comes from your heart. Help us to be that physical sign of that free and total, faithful and fruitful love that flows from your heart to the heart of your bride, the church. Help us to show the world that that love truly is possible, that even in the midst of our brokenness and struggles, that you are constantly reminding us that the love that we long for in our hearts is truly possible through your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today our show is titled Marriage on the Mend, as we help you take your relationship to the next level, whatever that means, for you at 877-573-7825. Let's go to the phones, Lisa.
We're talking now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Maria, welcome to Mortal Life. What's up?
Hi. where do I start? My husband, he's actually really traumatized by past relationships, and we can argue on certain matters, but when it comes to others, it's like he thinks I'm attacking him, and I'm not. I'm just saying, look, I'm really concerned about this matter. Mm-hmm. Can we discuss it? That kind of thing. But it's like he thinks, but you know. He just, it's like he just goes into panic mode and he'll walk out.
All right. You know? And what, so at that point he leaves? That's how he responds to that? Or what happens usually when he thinks you're
not immediately, it kind of escalates. You know what it's like with a typical couple? You kind of think, yeah, but you don't know my view. And yeah, but you don't mm-hmm. know my view. And you're not listening to me. And you're not listening to me. You know?
Okay.
It's
okay.
Kind
all
of
right.
Just like that. And then it's like he decides to, well, which is good because he walks away because he doesn't want to escalate it. But
sure,
there are certain times I just want to reassure him that I'm not attacking.
Well, and then you know, it's good to walk away, but the real question is how do you re-engage it in an effective way? Because if your only strategy is to walk away, then you never really solve any of this stuff, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's better than, you know, staying there and beating each other up emotionally, but it's not as good as actually finding solutions. So how do you engage this in an effective way? There are lots of different strategies. I'll give you a couple and then I'll give you a resource to follow up with it, okay? So number one, you know, when you guys get into that kind of, well, you're not listening to what I said, and well, you're not listening to what I said sort of thing, I want you to step back and say, tell me what you think I'm saying. Because a really good strategy in any conversation is to kind of practice the habit of restating what you think the other person said before you say your next piece. So if Lisa and I are in an argument or disagreement or whatever, you know, and I feel like I'm getting reactions from her that I don't know where it's coming from, like I'm trying to say something helpful and she's reacting like I'm not, I might step back and say, hun, help me understand what you're hearing me say, because I think I'm trying to be helpful here. Clearly it's not coming off that way. What are you getting from what I'm saying?
And if I'm calm, I might just tell him. And if I'm not calm, I might say, you're right, you're coming off as a jerk, but this is why. And then we can work on it together, because the one who's not overheated can help the other one step through it if we can keep enough emotional distance to be able to problem solve in that way first.
So that's your first a tip right there. Step back and ask your husband what he thinks you're saying so that you can offer some clarification there. The second tip I'm going to offer to you is that in general where you see this dynamic, it's because there isn't enough caretaking going on either in the conversation or the marriage overall. What I mean by that is, you know, couples who are healthy in arguments, they make sure that they're not just pushing their own agenda, but they're reassuring each other that the other person's agenda is important. So again, if Lisa and I are having an argument about something, you know, I'm not going to give up what's important to me, but I am also going to be saying to her, hey, look, I obviously want to get what's important to me here, but I also want to do what's important to you. Can we work together to figure out how to make that happen? Right? You know, and I'll, of course, you know, I'm just talking in general, but if I have a specific example, I might say, well, I understand that you doing this is really important, and I'm committed to helping you get that. I just need to figure out a way to do it so that I can get my need met too. Right? So you're doing that kind of caretaking that says, hey, your agenda is important. Other ways of doing caretaking include just simple things like saying, in the middle of the argument, hey, look, I know this is tough, but I really need you to know that I love you, and I'm really on your side. You can trust me. I know that doesn't feel like it right now, but I really am on your side. Or, you know, even something as simple as, hey, look, you know, my mouth is kind of dry right now. I'm going to grab a drink. Can I get you something, too?
The minute somebody does something thoughtful that says either right out loud or implies, I'm in this with you, I'm taking care of you, I love you, this isn't going to cataclysmically destroy us, both people can calm down enough to stay in their thinking, problem-solving brain. And then the last thing I'm going to add to this is, if your husband gets to that place and he walks out of the situation, it's important to give him a couple of minutes and then just say to him, hey, I really get that you need some time to calm down, and I do too. But let's meet up in 2 hours, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, whatever you think will work to give you both time to get into a place where you can think through this and be kind and effective with one another, and put that on the planner for the two of you. So you're not just letting it go and not problem solving it, but you're giving both of you a chance to calm down, become rational again, and start thinking in a problem-solving way that takes care of both of you and meets both of your needs.
Maria, with that, we got to go to break, but hopefully these three suggestions will at least get you started. We do talk about more of these kinds of strategies in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at our website, CatholicCounselors.com. That's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, along with our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, which also discusses a lot of these strategies. Maria, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us through the website at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about mending your marriage, taking your relationship to the next level, whatever that means for you, overcoming particular conflicts, finding ways to draw closer, get more joy out of your relationship, whatever it is, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When we come back, your calls and Damon Owens from JoyTOB.com. Stick around.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
When I heard other business owners say they finally found someone in the credit card industry they can trust, I wondered how he could help me. So when Mark from Schisler CPC offered to show me where all the money goes for credit card processing with a free analysis of my business, I jumped on it. He reviewed how the industry works, where we could save, and offered a no-contract guarantee on savings and excellent customer service. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. Schisler CPC. Trust in them.
More information available on the Ave Maria website under Sponsor Business Directory.
The Medal of St. Dominic will be presented to actor Jim Caviezel and his wife, Carrie, during Spiritus Sanctus Academy's annual benefit. You won't want to miss this very special evening, Saturday, February 15th at Laurel Manor in Livonia. Doors open at 5:30. Tickets are expected to sell out for the dinner and live auction. Get yours now at SpiritusSanctus.org or email SpiritusSanctusGala@gmail.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about mending marriage today on More to Life, taking your relationship the next level. Joining us right now, Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org is here to talk about, well, marriage in God's plan. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, Dr. Greg, Lisa, always great to be with you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And, you know, there's so much going on in life. We're all busy. Why is it important for Christians to take time to work on their relationships?
Yeah, you know, there's a great secular case for marriage, and we see that in statistics and even within the Christian sacramental marriage, Catholic marriage. You know, we have a different horizon. And this is, one of the gifts of the theology of the body and our faith is that while we share many cultural things, the things in the natural, particularly marriage, Christ is elevated to the dignity of a sacrament. And that church talk means that there are things that still appear in the natural world but take on a different and more profound meaning because of our baptism, because of Christ. And marriage stands at the head of that. You know, God created marriage from the beginning, before the church, before doctrine, before the commandments, before any of that, as a school to learn and to become and to become who we are. It's a work of sanctification. So when we speak about working on the difficult things of marriage here in 2020, in this new year, we're talking about things both in the natural and the supernatural. We have a different horizon. And the reason we marry now in this elevated truth about marriage is because it is a school to become saints. So we work on the details. We work on the difficult things. We work through challenges. We suffer, not for suffering's sake, but because God has created marriage both in its natural and now in its elevated reality to form us, to change us, and to teach us how to love. So I think just having that horizon means that we may work on the exact same human skills as a non-believer or a secular, exact same ones, but we do it for different reason. And that reason is we really want to become Christ, and God has placed marriage as a specific place for us to do that.
That's a really powerful reminder that there's so much more at stake than meets the eye when it comes to working on our relationships. Damon, thanks so much for your ministry, for your segment today, and if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to go to joytob.org. They're going to get a lot of great resources there, and I hope that they'll have you come out and speak in their area. Amen. When we come back, we're taking your calls about making your marriage even better.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
Your faith is important to you. You've carried it with you through the years, growing closer to God every day. You can't imagine life without your faith, and Henry Ford Village wouldn't have it any other way. Henry Ford Village Senior Living Community in Dearborn features a large, beautiful chapel with Sunday Mass each week, a 24/7 tabernacle, and a full-time Catholic minister on staff. Close to church, closer to faith, and it's only the beginning. Call 877-796-3458 to schedule your personalized Henry Ford Village visit today.
It's a new year and a new decade, and we're celebrating with our Start Something New sale going on now. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and now you can lease a new Jeep Compass or a new Jeep Cherokee for as low as $239 a month, or a new Jeep Grand Cherokee for as low as $333 a month. Come in and choose your next new Jeep from 10 acres loaded with inventory, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Lisa Popchak. God wants us to have a great marriage. It may be hard to believe that. After all, a great marriage only benefits my spouse and me, right? Wrong. God truly does want you to have a great marriage because your marriage is not just about you. God wants to change the world through your marriage. Marriage is a vocation, a ministry, a way that we live out God's grace in the world. He blesses others and calls them to Him through marriages. When you actively work on having the best marriage and family life possible, you give God the opportunity to tell the world that love that is freely given, total, faithful, and fruitful is actually possible. And it's a path to true joy. Your witness to love can and will change the world.
For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Joining us right now, our show today is titled Marriage on the Mend, as we help you take your marriage to the next level. You're joining us right now when you call 877-573-7825. See how smooth I was there?
Nobody
noticed the mistake at all. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about taking your marriage to that next level, whatever that means for you.
Because you were laughing one more time, 877-573-7825. We're talking now with Michelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey, Michelle. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love you guys. You have helped me and my family so much.
Thank you so much. What can we do for you today?
Yes. So my situation is I have become an assistant principal about 3 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago. And it's really put a strain on my marriage and with my children. And I've been contemplating stepping down to what I was doing before to give me more time here at home, or just to be more present. I've prayed about it, even with my husband. I pretty much try to lead in that sense, and he tells me to do what I feel in my heart I should do, because he doesn't want to keep me from doing something that I would regret later. And so I don't know. I just have a lot of mixed emotions about it. I want to put, of course, God and my marriage and my children first. And I don't want to let my boss down. I know she doesn't want me to leave either. So I was hoping if you had any words of wisdom to point me in the direction to go.
Yeah, all right. So got some initial thoughts, but before I go there, let me just even ask you, when you say that the position is causing conflict at home or tension at home, what are the problems you see it causing at home?
It's really, I'm just not here. I get home pretty late every day. I'm away even sometimes on the weekends because I have school events that I need to
attend. And when you say pretty late, is that midnight? Is that 9 o'clock? Give us a sense of it.
It's around 7:30, but my kids still have homework, missing dinner a lot. By the time I get here, it's pretty much they're already winding down, going to sleep, getting ready for the next day.
I got you. So you kind of miss out on a lot of the day-to-day life in the home. Because of
exactly, yes.
So,
and they're always telling me how much they hate my job. My kids, not my husband.
Yeah.
But my kids.
I'm sorry. Again, how old are your kids? One more time.
They are 9 and 10.
Okay. So they're right in the middle of trying to start figuring out who they are and still needing your guidance. So I can almost hear when you tell me their ages, that kind of tension in the center of your chest and that pain in your heart. Like, they really do kind of need me. So, yeah, you're really dealing with a lot with this right now. But I can also hear that there's a lot you don't want to give up. So, you know.
So let me put this this way, because I'm going to offer you, you know, some advice that I would offer to a husband or a wife who is working, because I think that the, you know, there's certain a kind of a bias of, well, you know, she's a mom, right? So there's a certain, and I think this is true for men too.
It really is, because our kids and our family life depends on both parents being present, including the kids being present. We all have to do our part to make it work.
The way to know, or the way to achieve a healthier work-life balance, is to start with looking at the rituals of connection that you've got at home and protecting those things. You know, you just quitting your job and being home may or may not make any difference if you didn't have any other ways to connect with the family when you were home. Like, there are lots of people who are home all day with their kids who don't actually interact with the kids.
Yeah, that aren't really present. And it also, having those rituals of connection, we also need to think slightly outside the box when we have a job that messes with a traditional schedule. So, for instance, and I'm not saying you can do this, it's just an idea, you miss a lot of dinners. But can you say, you start your week, you sit down with the family on a Sunday night, You look at everybody's schedule and you say, these are the nights that I'm not going to be here for dinner, but we will have dessert that night together. So when I come home, we're all going to sit down wherever you're at in this point. We're all going to sit down and have dessert together before you go to bed and catch up with each other.
So when we talk about rituals of connection, what we really mean by that is having regular short times, you know, even 10 to 15 minutes of time where every day you're being conscious and intentional about getting a little bit of time to work together, to talk together, to pray together, and to play together.
And a lot of those overlap, so it doesn't sound, it's not as intense as it sometimes sounds.
So
like,
for example,
I need the whole day for that.
Yeah, no, like, so I'll give you a for instance. Okay, so let's say that you have a ritual where every day, you know, you have family dinner, okay? And during that family dinner, you take some time to have a meaningful prayer time. But that's, you know, maybe it's all 3 to 5 minutes, okay, where you're just thanking God for the good stuff of the day, and you're asking God for the help with certain things that are going on in the day. And then over the meal, you actually talk about those things that you just prayed about and ask how you can help each other with those things or celebrate those successes or whatever, or make a plan for the rest of the evening. So now you've got in that one meal, you've got a prayer ritual and a talk ritual all set up together. You know, maybe after dinner, then you kind of all clean up the kitchen together. Okay, that's a work ritual now. Now that whole thing has taken place in a half an hour, and you got three of those points of connection. And then maybe later on in the day, you either take a walk as a family, or you play a couple of hands of Uno or something. It takes, you know, 10 minutes to do, but it's a, you know, you make a point of connecting there, or you just wrestle on the floor with the kids or whatever it is. You know, there's something there, but there's a ritual. There are rituals of connection where you've created points in the day, appointments. It's not just these things happen. It's like you're being intentional about putting them on the calendar. These things happen, and then you work around the other stuff. So, for instance, how that could work with you keeping the job is you have to be home for dinner, and you make a point of coming home for dinner and doing these things. Then some evenings, maybe you do go back to work, or you work after when the kids are getting ready for bed, or what, you know. So you're protecting, you're establishing and protecting those rituals, and then working around them, and or seeing to what degree you can work around them with your work.
And it's important. Your kids are old enough now that you can sit down together over the course of even this weekend and start to say, what rituals can we put in that will work for us as a family, will let us know we're in contact and have times to do these things together, will help us feel loved and connected, that maybe aren't even the normal traditional. So as I said, if you can't make it home for dinner, maybe your tradition is late night desserts together before everybody goes to bed and prayer time. So you're talking over that dessert. You pray before they all go to bed. You have that time. Maybe you all make sure you get up a half an hour earlier and you have some kind of breakfast together. And it's a breakfast that really talks about, you know, hopes and dreams and cares and what's going on in friendships, instead of, well, what time do you have to be at this practice? And do you have your gym shoes? So you're making sure you're taking that time and setting it aside. This is our time to love each other, be friends with each other, get to know each other better. Maybe you're going to schedule more things to do on the weekend rather than just drift through a weekend and check off all the things that people have to do and places y'all have to be. Maybe the kids come with you to some of these things that you have to attend, these performances you have to be at and practices you have to be at, and afterwards you all go out for burgers and fries. Start being creative together on how you can make it work rather than immediately go to an either I quit the job entirely or I stay with the job the way it is.
Because so once you've established these, what those rituals need to be, you know, the kind of the things that give you and your kids the strongest sense of connection in the day-to-day, then you can have some meaningful conversations about whether the job works for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can accommodate those rituals and keep your job, well, win-win. Right. It also enables you to go to your boss and say, hey, look, you know, I can't lose my family over this job. I need time to be able to make sure that I've got time to do X, Y, and Z every day. Can I structure my work around those things? And your boss can say, well, yeah, we do it this way. Or, no, I'm sorry, I really need somebody for this. And then again, that's more information that lets you know whether the job's going to work for you or not. But it's not about shall I stay or shall I go. It's about...
at least not at this point, till you have more information and have tried more creative venues.
It's about identifying those rituals of connection that help you maintain that connection with your kids, and then give you a meaningful way to start setting boundaries with your work and deciding the larger question of whether your work works for your family life. Hopefully that'll get you started at least. We do
I'm sorry. I'm just going to jump in because I don't want to forget this. And then make sure you guys take it to prayer together. One of the parts of those rituals is praying together. Pray. You got to ask God, hey, Lord, what do you want for our family? Do you want me working full-time in this job? Do you want me to do something else? How do we work this out? Lead us and guide us through this. Because if you just try to do it on your own, you're cutting out a whole lot of miracles and grace that will really help you work through this situation. So you were saying, Greg, I apologize.
No, it's fine. If she wants more tips on how to kind of get that work-life balance, we do talk about that actually in God Help Me This Stress is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace, which is really all about exactly what we're talking about here. God Help Me This Stress is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace. Michelle, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you in discerning this, don't hesitate to reach out again. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to take your marriage to the next level. Are there certain issues that always provoke conflict in your relationship? Or would you just like to be able to handle conflict better in general because things tend to blow up when you start talking about sensitive issues? Or maybe your struggle is that you want to feel closer with your spouse and you're not sure how to overcome the obstacles getting in your way. For that matter, what would it take for you to get more joy from your marriage or enjoy your spouse more? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Haley, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on KVSS.
Hey, Haley. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I can.
Okay, it cut out for a second. I was just wondering, I have a very busy schedule. I'm in school full-time, and then I work on my days off. And I have a 7-year-old daughter, me and my husband's very supportive. He understands that I'm really busy, but I was just wondering what some extra things I can do that don't take up a lot of time, that I can do to show him that I love him and that I care, aside from just saying I love you and I care about you.
So I'm going to ask, rather than me coming up with random suggestions for you that may or may not fit into your life, a good way to answer this question is to ask yourself, when do you, in your life that you've already got, when do you feel most connected with your husband? And the things that you manage to do now, and how could you be more intentional about making those things happen more often? How would you answer that question, Haley?
I'm not really sure.
Are there things that you do together at all? Like, are there ways that you feel connected to him?
I guess just when we're talking or hanging out together.
So time together to really be able to have a conversation and feel close seems important to you.
Yes.
Anything else?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. Well, look, let me go back to what I was saying to our previous callers, Maria or Michelle, excuse me. I want you to look at that whole kind of work, play, talk, pray schema, right? And I want you to kind of look at how do my husband and I connect around those four things? And if you don't, how could we in small ways? How could we create those rituals, those small rituals of connection that allow us to get a little bit of time every day to work, play, talk, and pray together? I mean, again, work, it doesn't have to involve hours and hours and hours. You know, a simple work ritual that almost everybody can do, cleaning up the kitchen together after dinner, you know, or picking up the family room before you go to bed. You know, the point is, it's a 5-minute thing, but can I tell you what it communicates to? Okay, one work ritual that Lisa and I have is when we wake up in the morning, we pray together for, 3 to 5 minutes or whatever. We get up, we make the bed together. That's a little work ritual that we have. And it's a silly little thing. It takes exactly a minute.
Not even.
All right? But it makes us feel so much better about the day.
And each other, because it's not like who can get out of here, faster so that we leave the other one with this thing to do. It's like, okay, we're going to start the day together, working together, getting this done, getting our this one tiny part of our lives in order. And it sends the message of, we can do this together. We
yeah, we're in it together.
Everything.
It's a little thing.
Together.
It takes a minute, but it's a work ritual that starts our day off and makes us feel connected and like we're promising each other that whatever happens the rest of the day, we're going to be in it with each other. Okay, so that's an example of a work ritual. It takes all of a minute. Like I said, that prayer ritual, when we wake up in the morning, first thing, we turn toward each other and we just give God the day. You know, Lord, please bless my wife and help her with all the things that she's dealing with today and help me be the husband that she needs me to be, that you want me to be, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Then
right?
I pray the same thing over him. We pray for our children and our ministry, and then we're making the bed and on with the rest of our day.
That whole thing is 5 minutes, okay, if even, right? It's a short ritual where we've got prayer and we got work, and then we haven't even started our day.
Right. Right. We barely, like, can see. I don't even have my glasses on. I can't see. But it starts the day in these little moments of intentionally working together, talking together, playing together, a game, going for a walk, just laughing together, sharing funny memes, whatever it is that connects you in a way that adds some playfulness to your life. These 4 points of working, talking, playing, and praying together give you an intentionality to add to your life, because what happens so often to us, Haley, like you have a 7-year-old daughter, you're going to school, you're working, and what happens to most of us in marriage is when we're dating, these things just happen naturally. We hit it off. There's a chemistry to see each other. We create dates. We have friendship groups, so we go out with them. We have to plan for our future, so we're working together on that. We're getting ready for marriage, so we're learning to pray together. It happens because we're not married. We have to be intentional. Then we get married and life begins to run us over and we just don't know how to make that happen because we're not bumping into it as easily. And we have to plan for it a little bit more, but it doesn't have to be difficult and time-consuming. It's not drudgery.
You know, you gave the example, Haley, of you know, when you and your husband get to hang out and talk together, make that a ritual. You know, set aside 20, say, you know, you make an appointment 20 minutes every day, come hell or high water, we're going to sit down and talk with each other. Now you might say, oh gosh, but I'm so tired at the end. Make it happen anyway. You know, because if you make the ritual happen and you're too tired to make it happen, like, well, that makes you say, well, how else could we do this? But if you don't set aside the time at all, then it doesn't happen at all.
Well, and the thing is you'd never say, I'm too tired to get my homework done because you're going to school. You know, I'm too tired to get this paper done. But that is, the goal is to succeed in your degree and to make your life better. Well, you want to succeed in your marriage and make your life better and your future better. And it's certainly way more important because it's not just lifelong. It's an eternal relationship with somebody else, with God, being a good, you know, Christian Catholic person. It's much more important than that degree. Now, that doesn't mean you chuck the degree for your marriage. It means you give as much time and attention and commitment to these rituals in your marriage as you would to getting your work done at work or getting your papers done for school, whatever that is. You build it in. You can build it in gently. You can build it in creatively, but you must build it in intentionally.
Yeah, so sit down with your husband and start talking through little tiny things, you know, even 5 minutes or less that you could do every day to connect around working, talking, praying, and playing together. We discuss this more in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. You can pick up both of those resources at CatholicCounselors.com if you'd like more information on what we're sharing with you here in the call. But again, the titles, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, both of them available at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more of your calls and questions about taking your relationship to the next level, healing those hurts in your relationship, or just making your marriage better overall. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Sacred Heart Catholic School in Dearborn is having its open house on January 26th from 12:30 to 2:30. Sacred Heart is a pre-K to 8th grade school that has been educating students for over 100 years, focusing on academic excellence, faith formation, and service inspired by the teachings of Jesus. To join, call the school office at 313-561-9192 to register. That's 313-561-9192.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Men, now is the time to accept the challenge to defend families and culture. Tickets are almost sold out for the Diocese of Lansing Men's Conference on Saturday, February 22nd from 9 to 6 p.m. at Oosterbaum Fieldhouse in Ann Arbor. There'll be Mass, Adoration, six dynamic speakers led by Bishop Boyer, Father Larry Richards, and Father Matthias Thaler. Rise up and register at acceptthechallenge.org. Go to acceptthechallenge.org today.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking today about marriage. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Jacob, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Jacob, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi.
Hi, what's your question for us?
Well, I'm Catholic. My wife's Catholic. We're married 22 years and six kids. And she's recently filed for divorce. And she really won't go to Catholic counseling or any kind of counseling for our marriage. And I'm just trying to understand how to deal with this. Early on, around February, March, she started letting me know this. And she said, you know, you emotionally abused me. She said, I did a survey on your website. And look, this is the situation, you do this. So I looked at the survey, and I took it myself, and I checked all the same answers of the things that she does to me as she had checked that I do to her.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, I see problems we've had. I see lack of communication.
There's a lot of kind of history of some conflict and bad communication, bad habits here. Let me ask you, are you guys living together still?
Yes.
Okay, and she's filed for divorce?
She filed at the beginning of August and told the kids the papers were served right around the end of August. And mm-hmm. We've been to court once. We're supposed to do mediation and all this other stuff. And
but you're still in the same house.
You know, yeah, and okay. I keep asking her for reconciliation. I read.
And you haven't? Have you gone? Now, you know, you said she hasn't gone to counseling. Have you gone to counseling at all? Or are you in any kind of getting any kind of professional help?
I went to try and get something to help with, you know, anger and stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy wasn't much more than, oh wow, your wife's doing some bad things. I can't believe she's doing that. So that didn't really work. We tried to find. She'd started, I'll say, a relationship, becoming more familiar, friendly with her pastor, where they started talking about.
Yeah, but that's not marriage counseling. So I got to jump in because we've only got 30 seconds before they play us out of here. Your next step, Jacob, is to get into individual counseling with a good marriage-friendly therapist to start doing solo spouse marital therapy. The reality is there's a lot that can still be done here, and you guys are wasting a lot of time. And you don't have time to waste. So the key is finding, when I say marriage-friendly therapist, that's a specific kind of counselor who's trained in marriage counseling. counseling, who's been supervised in marriage counseling, and who has a bias toward making marriages work. And there's a marriage-friendly therapy registry. If you go to marriagefriendlytherapists.com, our counselors at CatholicCounselors.com do marriage-friendly therapy as well. Those therapists are also trained in what's called systems therapy, which is working with an individual spouse to look at how to build rapport and set boundaries that can create change in the relationship. You know, your wife has addressed a lot of concerns here, and instead of going to the whole, well, she does that to me too, I think you really need to step up and start addressing those concerns in a forthright manner. Fact is, you're still living together. Right? And you, as long as you're still under the same roof, you have a lot of opportunity to make this work. Don't waste any more time. Thanks for the call, Jacob. If we can help you out, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you folks as well. Check out all the resources we have to help take your marriage to the next level at CatholicCounselors.com. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.